I don't know if we really know the depth of that, how the power of our words can really affect our lives. I wanted to start thinking, first of all, about God's words. And Genesis 1 and 3, it says, God said, let there be light, and there was light. You know, we're not going to go all through the creation. Most of us know the story of creation, how wonderful it is. Do you ever think about the power of creation? The power, when God spoke it, it happened. His words, he's God, you might say. Well, that's God. We can't do that. But I believe that there's a lesson in it that God is teaching us, that there is great power in what we say. It's not the magnitude of God, but it's still power, because I've seen it in my own life, and I know in others' lives, what they say many times happens to them, or they become under that power of those words. Genesis 1 and 3 said, God said, let there be light, and there was light. God spoke the word, and it was done. He said the word, and it was done. And our words really matter. And they affect us. They affect how we feel. They affect how we live. They affect whether we're victorious or we're discouraged. So we need to ask God to help us to be happy and to speak positive words. We're all human. We all have battles with this. But the Lord can help us to be blessed in our lives and be blessed in our words. St. Matthew 24 and 34, we want to turn over there. Jesus, all through the Bible, teaches us the power of words. And St. Matthew 24 and 34 says, verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Every word in the Bible is true. Every word is powerful. There are Bible promises that we can take and get a hold of and claim them, and they work. But we have to take the power. We have to take the word and believe it. And we have to say it. And there's some times that we just need to say with our mouth that I have the victory. I think about the scripture that said, some of these we'll look up and some I'll just quote, but it says, we overcome the enemy or the devil by the blood of the Lamb and what? And the word of our testimony. So you think, does it matter if I testify or I don't? Yes, it does. It does matter. And the Lord wants us to testify. We may not testify every service, but there's some time we have to testify. And even if it's not here, it's somewhere. But the Lord wants us to overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. If you're saved, say so. If you're sanctified, say so. Be victorious. You know, be positive. Be happy. Be joyful. The Lord wants us to say it. It says, just think that his word shall not pass away. Just think how powerful that is. This earth that we're in right now, it's going to pass away. But God's word will not pass away. Everything will be fulfilled. And he'll have a new heaven for us to go to. And everything. It's all true. It's wonderful. Matthew 12 and 36, and we've heard this before many times, but it says, but I say unto you, Matthew 12, 36, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. You know, it took words for us when we were saved. We had to come to Jesus with words. We had to ask forgiveness. It took words. You know, we can't just only go to God and cry, which God will hear that too, because he hears our sincerity of our heart, yes. But also he wants to hear it with your mouth. He wants you to, there's a scripture, I might not have it tonight, but it says, take with you words. You know, sometimes at the altar, you know, people are crying and they're not really saying anything, and really you don't have to know all their problem, but it comes to a point where you have to say, you know, you need to say something to God. You know, you need to, what's the matter? You need to talk to God, you know. It's more than just tears. He wants to hear your words. He wants to hear, are you serious? You know, are you going to turn away from your wrong? Are you going to ask forgiveness? Are you going to repent? Are you going to be what God wants you to be? God wants to hear some words from us. He wants to hear how much we love him. He wants to hear how much we're thankful. He wants to hear words from us. And, you know, the Lord is able to help us. I was thinking about how that our words, well, what do we do with our life? Our words should be uplifting. Our words should be informative. Our words should be build God's cause. Our words should be comforting. Our words should be healing. Our words should be blessing others. Our words should be full of love. Our words should be teaching others. And I think about in the Old Testament where it says, when you're with your children or grandchildren, it says that you talk about the blessings of God. Use your time to teach them. If they admire the sun or the moon, that gives you an opportunity to say, yes, God made that. And, you know, we use our words to teach people and uplift people. Have you ever been around somebody that complains a lot and they can't ever say anything good, but they're, if you're around someone like that for a while, it's like you'd rather just get away from them because you want to be encouraged. You don't want to hear too much of that. And then sometimes we do have to bear each other's burdens, and I'm not talking about that, but I'm saying there's some people that have a habit of life that they complain about everything, or most everything, I'll put it that way, and it seemed like it's just the way they are. But, you know, the Lord wants us to lift us up as Christians. He wants us to lift us up above that. He wants us to be happy. He wants us to be joyful. He wants us to speak good words over our life because God gave us our life. And he wants us to be blessed. And he wants us to bless others. Over here in Galatians 5 and 14, you know, the Lord just wants to help us with our words and ask God to help us with our words. And Galatians 5 and 14, it says here, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You know, every one of us, we love ourselves. And you might as well say, it's true. Everyone, if you're a normal person, you're going to love yourself. But God said to love others like yourself. You wouldn't want to hurt others. You wouldn't want to discourage others. You wouldn't want to do anything like that. You want to love them. You want to help them. You'd want to forgive them. You want to bless them. And so that's how we try to do with each other. And it says, it's one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You know, if we walk in the Spirit, we're going to have, like the fruit of the Spirit in the 22nd verse, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law, there is no limit to it. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another and envying one another. But we want to encourage one another with our words and be a blessing. And I was just thinking about Monarch coming up and how that we can use our words for prayer. And not, you know, we are going to visit. And we're going to see people we haven't seen for a long time, different states of people coming in, and we enjoy that. But our main cause there and our priority is to go there to worship God. And we want to make sure that we don't just talk too much, you know, what I'm going to say with our words. But we want to make sure we take our friends and say, let's, why don't we have prayer? you know, why don't we pray for the service? If we're visiting the cabin, take time to get down and pray a few minutes and pray for the service and be in the attitude of prayer and use our words to be a blessing. At the same time, I think sometimes, you know, this is just coming to me, but, you know, the ministers that lead the service, you know, and I know this is a small crowd here, but in a way, but, you know, we have prayer requests and we have things like that, but we need to use wisdom and understanding with our words and realize that there's only so much time for the message. There's only so much time for special singing. There's only so much time, you know, and that we need to make sure that God wants us to speak out publicly and be very careful that we keep in order, you know, and use our words with wisdom and understanding. And if we do put a request in, try to limit it and not be too long and not use our words with wisdom. And the Lord will bless us and he will bless the meeting. And may God help us to understand, you know, how to use our words. So there's one word. And then I thought about St. John 6 and 63. It talks about, and I was thinking about all the powerful words that Jesus would say when he was here. But 6 and 63, it says here in St. John, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." And I was just thinking you could sum up your whole life. You know, really a good, when you're a Christian and you found Jesus and you're saved and you're sanctified and you're living for God, it all comes down to one thing. The Bible is your life. The Word of God is words of life. They're powerful. They give you courage. They strengthen you when you need it. They give you encouragement when you need it. There's healing there. There's power. There's understanding. There's also reproof sometimes. But it's all good for us. The Bible, we love it. We take it. We want it. The words of life, they're powerful. They're wonderful. And if we incorporate those in our life, they're everything to us. I wouldn't want to live in this world without a Bible. Would you? The words of God. They're wonderful. They've been preserved all through the ages for us. It's wonderful to have the Bible, the good Bible. You know, it's wonderful. This precious Bible I'm preaching out tonight was Jerry's father left it to me when he died. But, you know, Elizabeth had it for a little while. But anyway, the Bible is supposed to be mine. But I thank the Lord. I just thought I would use it once for service, but at least once. But, you know, I thank the Lord for the good Bible. The words of God. Aren't they wonderful? I mentioned before about the Bible promise box I have, but I use it a lot during the day. But, you know, just the scripture can lift you up. There's something about the power of God's word. And how much more the power of our words. That we can use our words to help each other. To encourage each other, to lift each other up, to strengthen each other. Just a kind word sometimes goes a long ways. You know, people need comfort. They need help. They need different things. We all need that. We all need a good word. We all need something said to us kind. It's nice, isn't it? And, you know, I remember sometimes just to say hello to somebody. You think, oh, that's nothing, just say hello to somebody. But, you know, you go to Monarch and you're friendly and you say hello to people. It is nice to say hello and speak and be kind. You know, some people, they get all kinds of notions when you don't speak. And sometimes you don't mean to be. Maybe that's something on your mind. But we can use our words to be a blessing. Let's just go there and mostly use our words for prayer. But be a real blessing with our words. And in our homes, in every way, you know, we can be a blessing to the little children sometimes. I think about little children sometimes. It just seems like they have real heartaches too, and things bother them. And, you know, one time, you know, sometimes one little child I know, they said, "I'm just sensitive, you know." They said, "Things bother me." And they were crying, and I said, "I know, honey. You are sensitive. Some people have that kind of nature that the Lord can help them with it. But things do hurt their feelings easily, and they need help. They need more love. They need more kindness, more special words of attention to them. You know, that's the way the saints are. They're different. We have different personalities. We have different things in our lives, and we all need that special kind of help sometimes, a special uplifting word of encouragement. You know, God wants to give that to us. He loves us. And it said, the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Oh, saints, I really believe when you go to Monarch and you hear the preaching, the words of life, it's not so much that person that God is using. That's wonderful that they're sanctified and God's using them. But it's the Bible and the words of life that's going to come across that pulpit. And when you let it come into your heart, it's going to affect your life. And it's going to be a blessing to you. The words of life, they're going to quicken you. The Spirit will quicken you with the Word. And it'll give you great encouragement. I know sometimes we go along in life and we think, well, you know, is it that important for me to attend this or attend that? But you know, the Lord works with us all through our life in different places. Wherever we go and hear the word of life, it does something to us. It makes a change in us. And it helps us to be a better Christian, a better person, what God wants us to be. He wants to fulfill His blessing in you and I. The Spirit quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Oh, Jesus, when He speaks to us, it is spirit, it's life. It does something different to us. It just quickens us. It's wonderful. Oh, I love the Lord. He's just so wonderful. I think about over here in Matthew 8:8, you know, the centurion, when he came to Jesus, he had such great faith. And he said to him, and he said, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, the 8th chapter of St. Matthew, and grievously tormented. And Jesus came unto him, saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldst come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth. To another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come. Anyway, it goes on to say, but it says, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. He believed that all Jesus had to do is speak the word, and his servant would be healed. Even though the servant wasn't there, he believed it. And it was true. And when Jesus spoke the word, it happened right there. What is it in our life that we need? All Jesus has to do is speak the word. Speak the word. We can worry about things. We can be troubled about things. We can just be under all kinds of emotions. But really, if we just believe, God can just speak the word. And it can be done. Jesus said, I will come and heal him. And he said, I am not worthy that you come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. And so the Lord did. The Lord did speak the word, and he was healed. What power. But God's teaching us, too, that we have some power with our words. Have you ever got up sometimes, you just think, oh, I'm a little bit tired today. I just feel a little tired. And you start speaking it. You start saying it. I feel tired. I don't even know if I feel like getting dressed for the day. I'm just tired. And you know, if you keep doing that and keep doing that, pretty soon you really will be tired. But you know, you can get up and you can say, you know what? This is a wonderful day. I'm just full of energy. And there's something about speaking it and acting upon it. It happens. Now you say, well, but you know, saints, we need to be positive with our words. We need to be ambitious. We need to be encouraged. We need to be strengthened. We need to have words of positive action. You know, That's what the Lord wants us to do. He wants us to have positive words. And this scripture over here in James, I know we're familiar with that scripture, but I'm going to read just a little bit about it. The tongue. You know, we have to be so careful with our tongue. James 3, it says here in the second verse, "For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same as a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. Every kind of beast, of birds, and serpents, and things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind, but the tongue can no man tame." Now if it says tongue can no man tame, does that mean we're hopeless, we can't help ourselves? God can tame it. Jesus, He can tame it through the Holy Spirit. He can tame our tongues. He can teach us what we should say, what we shouldn't say. And if we say something we shouldn't say, we can ask forgiveness for it. And we can start all over. I read one time about a family. They had quite a little family, and they were a Christian family. But they'd get up in the morning, and they had several children, maybe four or five children. And the children would start a little argument of some kind, and it would start off the day wrong, you know, and one be saying this, and another be saying that. And they'd say, "All right, time out. We start all over our day. Get down and pray. Start all over. These words that are going out are not good. They're not edifying. They're disrupting our family. We're going to start all over." And they had a little signal between each other that, okay, it's time to start all over. Well, I don't see anything wrong with that. You know, we need to get up and have good words for each other, happy words for each other, loving words for each other. It makes the day a lot better, doesn't it? And in the congregation, anywhere, we need to have those good words. It said, "The tongue can no man tame. It is unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therefore, bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either a fine figs, can no fountain both yield water and fresh? Who is a wise man endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. The wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above," I love this, "is first pure, peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace." You know, we can do a lot of damage with our tongue, and we can do a lot of blessing with our tongue. And God wants us to do a lot of blessing with it. He wants us to use it for His glory. It says, I wrote this down, it said, "It is not impossible to tame our tongues, yet it is extremely difficult. And we need supernatural grace and assistance from God. Watch and pray to keep our tongue in order." This is not for one of us, it's for all of us, including me, all of us. We need the Lord to help us with our tongues. We need the Lord to help us to know how to bless God. And, you know, the Lord is able to help us. I'd like to turn over here to Psalms 19 and 14. 19 and 14. It says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Do you think that the Lord is looking how we use our words? Now, I wasn't going to say this, but I'll bring it briefly out. I've noticed with texting on the telephone, and I use that with, especially with my daughter, our daughters and family members, and some of the saints, it can be used a great blessing because we text for prayer. We let each other know there's a need for prayer. And maybe you can send several out at once. It can be used a great blessing. But one thing I think the Lord has showed me, and I want to caution all of us, if there's any kind of a disagreement or anything, and I'm not even saying this happened to me, I can't really recall it happening to me, but if there's any kind of thing like that, leave off the texting. I would say it'd be better to not try to discuss that way. There's times that we need person-to-person contact. We need face-to-face. We need to speak to each other in a warmer way than just texting something. If you don't like something, it'd be better to discuss that a different way. And I believe I have the Lord's thought on this. I hope that you understand what I'm saying. Lord, help us to be very careful. We're living in technology. We're living in things on Facebook and things that we could hurt each other. We could hurt each other's feelings and not even mean to do it. But, you know, I'm not on Facebook, but I know I've read some with our daughters and things, and I'm just cautioning us it can be used in the right way. And I'm, you know, I want to be balanced in this. But yet, dear ones, let's be very careful. If we comment and say things that we say it, our words are going out, whether it's going out by Facebook or it's going out a text message, it's still coming from you. And it still could bring up problems in the church. It could bring up feelings in the congregation. We need to be very careful how we use this technology. Because God wants us to use our words the right way. We cannot just throw out words any way we want to. And we can't be careless. However we send it, it's very serious. And you know, may the Lord help us to understand that God is wanting us, and He's listening and He's watching, and He wants us to edify each other and be a blessing to each other. You know, we don't want to hurt one another in any way. And some people are sensitive, you know. Maybe we don't mean to hurt, but may the Lord help us to have an understanding. This is Psalms 19 and 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Okay, Proverbs 15 and 23. Proverbs 15:23, it says here, a man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good is it? A man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good is it? The way of life is above to the wise, that he may depart from hell beneath. Just think what joy that we can bring to one another by the way we answer one another. Or think the way we could hurt too. May God help us. Very serious how we use our words. And I know I mentioned this before, but it comes to my mind here. But the last time I saw my cousin Kathy, I really believe that it was like, I didn't know she was going to die. I didn't know I was going to never see her again, but the Lord knew it. Because I never did this, ever say this to her, that I recall. But I had her in the kitchen at my mother's, and I took her by the shoulders. I loved her dearly. And I said, Kathy, I said, this time when I'm here, we need to see each other every day. Wouldn't it be nice if we could see each other every day? I said, we just need to do it this time. See, there was something the Lord, but you know, it didn't happen. That was the last time I seen her. She said, yeah, it would be good, but life got busy, and I tried to make contact. It didn't work out. But, you know, the Lord knows our last times were with each other. There's a little book that says, If I Only Knew. You know, we take it for granted so much that, oh, you're going to have many more days. You're going to have many more hours. I can send you a card later. I can say something nice to you later because you'll be here again sometime. We take each other granted so much. We're humans. We do that. But there's a little book that said, If I only knew I'd never see that person again, wouldn't I speak a little different to them? Wouldn't I have maybe a kind word to say? We're going to Monarch, Lord willing, if we live and we go to Monarch, Lord willing. There may be people that we'll never see again, that before the next Monarch they'll be gone. I know some already that's gone. Sister Janice Porter, Sister Vodna, different ones, you know, I'll never see them again. But you know, dear ones, let us ask God to help us with our words. That the words and meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, Lord. You know, many times our words come from our meditation of our heart and mind. If we keep... Pardon? The thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord. Thank you. But the words of the pure are pleasant words. Yes. The words of the pure are pleasant words. Have you ever been somewhere out in the public and you see someone just railing on their child or cursing or saying and being mean and hateful and they're not saved and they're just, oh, the words that are coming out are just terrible, you know. But the righteous people, they have words of pureness, of pleasant words. That's the way they are. The thoughts of the wicked are an abomination, but the words of the pure are pleasant words. In Proverbs 25 and 11, we've heard this before, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pitchers of silver. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pitchers of silver. You know, sometimes when we're trying to teach someone, we think sometimes we have to teach a long time and say a whole lot of words to really teach them something. And sometimes the more pleasant we are about it and the more kind we are about it and our words come around, it'll teach them a lot better than the words coming in the wrong way and they don't want to hear it. They don't want to listen. But if you can get through love, if you can get over to them love with your words, they'll listen better. And that's any child or anything. Get over your love to them. They'll listen better. But a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pitchers of silver. I wanted to read back over here in James 4. James 4 and 15, it says, let's read that a little above that, the 13th verse. Sometimes I don't always hear this among us. We try to say it. We try never to forget to say this. But it says, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. You know, we really need to incorporate this in our life. When we say we're going to do this and that, we really need to say, Lord willing. I mean, we really do. I mean, the Bible teaches us to say that. We ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. You know, sometimes the people say, well, my birthday next year I'll be such and such, and I'll be doing this and that and the other. Well, we better say, Lord willing, if the Lord lets me live, if the Lord blesses me, because I'm not going to boast about it, because I'm in the Lord's hands. I don't know. How many of us know what's going to happen tomorrow? We really don't know. We can plan something, but really don't know. The Lord has a veil over the future because he doesn't want us to have too much to bear. He doesn't want us to know. He wants us to take one day at a time. Proverbs 23 and 7. I'm not sure if I read that. If I did, I'll go on. But okay, that's not what I wanted. Okay, we'll just go on to Philippians 4. You know, when the Lord teaches us to pray, Philippians 4, he says, rejoice in the Lord always, in the fourth verse. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. We must be thankful. We must express it to God with our words. We must be thankful to each other. We must send thank you cards sometimes, or at least say it somehow. We need to say thank you. We need to say thank you and be thankful. And most of all, we need to say thankful to God. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. And I don't think I would, I think it'd be good for us to think about talking on these things, if we're thinking on them, talking on them, or whatever. I don't know about you. We only have one life to live, you know. Let's try to live it and not be down about too many things. Let's try to keep up. Let's try to keep happy. Try to keep lovely things, pure things. You know, enjoy your life every day. I was reading something today. It said the present is called the present. Today is the present because it's a present from God. Today's your day. It's a present from God. And so that's why it's called a present. The present. It's a present from God. So God wants us to use our words to be pure, true, honest, just, lovely, good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things or talk on these things. And Lord willing, the last verse I want to read a little bit here is in Luke 24. We have a song in our songbook that says, when my Savior talks with me. And on the, we won't read all this, we'll read some of it, but on the road to Emmaus, after Jesus had died on the cross and he arose, there was two of them, in the 13th verse, went the same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. I was thinking about how saints talk and commune about God, not only in service, but we do it in our daily living. We talk and we pray and we talk good things about God. And God is pleased with that. And many times when we draw nigh to God in our conversation, talking about God, uplifting and blessing God, God draws near to us. And it says here, they were talking about, and it can't, of course they were talking about, they were really troubled too, but God said to them, he came to them when they were talking and they were troubled, and he said, what manner of communication are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? You know, the God really cares about us when we're sad. He loves us and he wants to talk to us. He wants to somehow get his words over to us to comfort us. Has he ever done that for you? Of course he has. He's done that for me. He's talked to me and gave me comfort. He's given me a song in the night when I needed a encouragement, just a song that I had forgot about years ago, and it came back to my mind. He talks to us that way. He came, he said, why are you sad? And then it goes on, but I just mainly wanted to get that, how that Jesus came to them, and he asked them why they were sad and how he wanted to talk to them. You know, God uses words to talk to us, his Bible, songs, people that have printed and wrote these beautiful songs. They were anointed of the Holy Spirit. We sing some of the same songs over and over and over and over, and we don't get tired of them. Because why? Because they're anointed by the Holy Spirit. We go to Monarch, we sing the songs over and over, and we sing them for 40 years. And we're still singing them, but they're still blessing us. They're words of life, that God used those words to bless us. When we sing the songs, let us take those words into our heart. And I pray that the Lord will help every one of us to get some good out of this thought about words, that we'll use our words to edify God in our daily lives, whatever way we use it, whatever technology we use it, whether it's on the telephone, the Facebook, the texting, the talking to each other, our worship at service, whatever. Ask God to help us to really use our talking to glorify God. Our words, the power of our words. Saints, we hardly even realize the power of our words. But God can help us to understand more and more. I want to be more careful with my words, always be careful. The Lord is able to help us. If we really love the Lord, he will help us. He will show us the way. And pray for me.